referee is reaching into their pocket. What's that card going to be? Oh, it's a red card, and that can mean only one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. My name is Eric Paisley. With me tonight is...
John Brennick, who is not muted this time.
All right.
We're learning things a year and a half into this.
The boys in gold take a trip to the great whitish north to put out some wildfires and take on father-son FC... Toronto FC. The draw has the Nashville boys stuck solidly in second gear in the East, but at least our DP likes playing for our team. So how you doing tonight, John?
I'm good. That was a spicy intro.
Yeah,
right? It's a little oomph on that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we don't like these Toronto people.
I don't like Toronto. I solidly now dislike Toronto. I'm not saying they're our rivals to the north. We know what team that is, but I genuinely dislike that team. All right, John, how are you doing tonight for my friend? We played in Toronto, 1-1 draw. Yeah. How does the game sit with you? What's your gut check the game?
It's kind of a draw that feels like a win because we did kind of snatch it there. We played poorly in the first half, and something that we'll circle back to later in the podcast, it's a road game. In general, tying in on the road is not the worst thing to happen, You know, from that, it's hard because it's disappointing. We're still 9 games undefeated, but it felt like we've been doing better. So it's a disappointing result from what I wanted. But when I look at the game and I see what's out there, yeah, okay, I can accept it, I guess I should say. I've made peace with it.
Yeah, I feel like watching the game in the first half was pretty rough. It was a series of misadventures of just basically sitting back, letting them have possession. And it was hard to watch. Insigne's goal was pretty darn good, though. It was a Insigne-esque goal. I mean, he is a genuinely good player on a genuinely bad team. And, you know, it was nice to see a player of his caliber, you know, show his talent. Unfortunately for us, but the second half really gave me a little more hope. We really started to take charge in the second half, and it was clear. And the broadcasters, we'll talk a little bit about this later in the second half. The broadcasters definitely were in the bag for Toronto, and the crowd, though, they did mention several times, the crowd was sort of really quiet, really subdued, and was just expecting Nashville to come back. It was almost like they were expecting it. Their words, not mine. I kind of agree with that. I feel like we genuinely just sort of wore Toronto down. And towards the end, they were just hoping to get out of there. By the last 20 minutes, I feel like they were just hoping to get out of there, you know, with a tie. That was my gut reaction.
I feel that. Yeah. They did mention it, how kind of average the crowd noise was a couple times on there. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Segment one, we're going to go through hardest working player. For you, hardest working player was?
Well, I'm going to give honorable mention to Jack Bauer for having to sub in after Lucas's injury. And admittedly, he got a foul. I guess math says about 8 minutes into his shift, which is not great. He got the yellow card. Sorry, not a foul. He got a yellow card. But he played
against
the rest of the game.
Against CJ, who, you know, had beaten him on that play.
Right, but he played well the rest of the game. So just more of a recognition of he put in a hard shift of coming in with, you know, not a lot of warm-up time, being thrust in there. It's his second game. He has, you know, MLS minutes he's played for us, and he did a good job. So shout out to him because he did have a lot of work to do, admittedly. So it's kind of a little recognition. But to me, mine's going to go to Sean Davis. Great – he seemed to be about the only person who was other than, I mean, Hani, but I mean, I don't know when Hani has a bad game, really. I mean, it has to be – you have to do something bad for Hani to have a bad game. But Sean was out there putting in a good shift, and I heard his name multiple times, intercepting passes, getting involved in defense. And Sean was everywhere, which when I saw the starting lineup is kind of what I thought might happen when we had to start Dax out there with Sean because, again, Dax doesn't cover as much ground. He's a little bit slower, so I feel like – you know, it seemed like Sean was going to have to do a lot of work, and he did, and he availed himself really well. So shout out to Sean Davis for just being the man, going all over, doing all the things, trying to – I think there were a couple times he saved our bacon, and there were a couple times he tried to play things forward and looked pretty good. So it was – he was one of the few bright spots, but he was also just working.
Yeah, I, I think we called his name, or at least I think I called his name last home game. I feel like he was he was on the pitch for the last home game and was carrying the ball forward a little bit more. I'll have to go back and look. But yeah, I'm glad that I saw the same thing you did, which is always gives me hope, is that I'm learning this game better, is Sean Day was definitely the hardest working player. Mm-hmm. They called his name several times. And I feel like, and so here's my take. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but it seems like with Insigne and the Italian player for Toronto,
Bernadeschi. Yeah.
They really wanted to draw us in the center. They felt like on the wings were too strong. They were trying to draw their play into the center. And I think it was just right man, right time. He was cutting off a lot of passes both forward and, you know, in the attacking, you know, in the attacking third and in midfield. I just think it's because the play was coming his way and he really got to shine. I felt like it gave him a chance to shine. Because he does a lot of good work, and I feel like you know, just because of the way Toronto was wanting to play. Because we know one of the reasons that we have Schaffelberg is that Bob Bradley doesn't like to play on the wings. That's not his style, right? That's what I learned from that trade, or at least I heard, and that you know he's more of a central attacking player coach. So that was I think that's one of the reasons we saw Sean step up his game and definitely earns the hardest working player for me.
Yeah.
Most valuable player. Who's it going to be this time, John?
Well, so this is a problem. Cause last week you and we said some things.
Yeah, we did.
We did. We said some things about Randall and they were true at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Randall must be a fan of the pod and listen, because this week he said that he basically gave us evidence that you and I need to shut up and we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And to the point that I think he earned the MVP because Randall was doing Randall things. No, I mean, so granted, he and Fafa both subbed on at the same time, but I feel like Randall was by far the bigger contributor when things started going, and he made a difference. He looked good. He did what we've always talked about. He dribbles the ball. He pushes forward. And he scored on the thing that you especially love and I also love, which is Randall takes shots.
Mm-hmm.
We crossed the ball in. Hani missed the header. What? No, he didn't. Hani got the header and made it over the goalie and got a miraculous save by a defender. I mean, Johnny on the spot, got to give, I forgot what his name was, Mabika, mad credit for that save. And the ball comes back out. And what does Randall do from 25 yards out? He shoots the ball. And you know what? We've talked about it. It may not always be on. Sometimes the goalie gets it. But every now, if you keep doing it, the percentages say something's going to happen. And Sean Johnson lets something happen. And there we go. We walk away with a point. So it's just Randall doing Randall things, man.
Yeah, a reward.
What would you like to add to that? Because I know you were eager to give him the MVP.
Well, a reward for, you know, his play. Because, you know I harp on this. But as a sub, you have to make a – if you're coming off the bench, I want to see you make a difference. You have to make a difference in the game. That's what a sub should do. And he did. I think Fafa did a lot too. I actually think Fafa's energy changed the game. I think, yes, he didn't have as much possession as he typically does. And maybe he didn't even have the best, you know, off the bench, you know, possession, but he brought an energy and a sort of a chippiness that he brings to every time, you know, every time he touches the field. But you know, obviously Randall is my man of the match as well. And I know it's so silly to make another sports analogy to soccer, but just like in hockey, I mean, you've got to take shots on goal. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen. I don't mind when players, I mean, look at Insigne's goal. Insigne took that shot out like from way outside the box, or, you know, outside the box. Just outside the box. I mean, you got to take taking shots. The percentages say, like you said, the math is going to say something's going to happen. And I think Taylor Twellman said that the ball was dipping a bit, and maybe that caught Sean just mentally napping. He thought Sean was a little bit on autopilot, maybe thought he was going to just bring it in, and it went right off his fingertips, right behind him. So yeah, good job to Randall Leal. You know what? You know who else does a good job, John? You know who else does a good job? Tempo Coffee and Breakfast. That's right. And this is, again, an unofficial sponsor. Tempo, over on Ellensville Road, down from the stadium. Tempo is run by our good friend Javier Solis. Javier and his family have owned Tempo for a while. You can catch them at the park in section 118 outside my section. And Javier and his family specialize in coffee drinks, Tex-Mex breakfast food, and they utilize their space for creative events. Check them out on Nolensville Pike whenever you get a chance. They are an unofficial sponsor of the GOP. Now, I have not talked to Javier yet, but I am going to pitch that they have a special Get Off My Pitch breakfast taco, which will be...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay,
salty and spicy. So salty, salty and spicy. I love the chorizo that they use. So we're gonna have to pair like some salty potatoes with the chorizo, make it a Get Off My Pitch special. So with that, we're gonna take a break. And when we come back,
we're not gonna vote on the best goal of the week. Wait,
we just have the one. Yeah, I think Rundle's is the best.
I know. I'm teasing.
All right, when we come back, we will. We're going to check in. It's a halftime. It's halfway through the season. John and I are going to give you our impressions of where we're at halfway through the season. We're going to talk about what we learned maybe from this match. I got a good question for John to ponder. John is obviously going to share some stats. And then we're going to tell you, more importantly, who needs to get off our pitch. So stay with us. We are back. John, halfway through the season. Okay, yes. It's time to do a check-in. How do you feel about the team halfway through?
Well, so I'm gonna dribble in some stats as we do this. Let's look at the straight numbers, okay? We have played 17 games. Mm-hmm. We've won 9 of them. So statistically, just over half. Tied 5, lost 3. That's not bad. This is one of our best seasons so far. We are averaging 1.88 points per game. So I feel like everyone's always talked about that 2 is the magic number. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because 2 will guarantee you a playoff spot. Now, if you look in the past years, people get in the team, you know, 1.5, 1.6, whatever. But 2 is the magic number of, like, you can't miss the playoffs if you're averaging 2 points per game.
Right.
We're very close to that. Mm-hmm. So we're on pace. So numbers-wise, looks like we're a playoff team. When you actually look at the conference, we're second to Cincinnati. You know what I mean? We're doing well, and we're doing it the Nashville way. Only 12 goals allowed, which is the far fewest since, you know, LAFC had a few games in hand on us, but then when they allowed Houston to score 4 this past weekend, they blew away their good goals against average. But again, fewest in the league, scoring 25, which is kind of close to league average. So we're not exactly just doing it through the defense alone. So now the numbers say we're looking pretty decent. You know, things look like, you know, second in the East in the table is a great place to be. It's better than we've been a lot of other times. So the numbers look good. But yeah, what do you actually feel? What are your impressions of the club, Eric?
Yeah, so I hate to steal Taylor Twellman's sort of opening thoughts that mm-hmm. preceded the match, but this team has come together in a very unique way. The people that are on the field, and we'll talk about this in a little bit in my question to you, but mm-hmm. the team has gelled. And I think that you and I have even mentioned this a couple of, you know, maybe a couple, maybe 3 or 4 episodes ago, where we thought there's a real identity to the team. There's a real identity to this team. Obviously, it starts with Hani, but I feel like, especially on the back line, in the midfield, like we know who we are, and it's working. The coaching, the players, everything is working for us right now. And so I actually have a lot of optimism going into the second half of the year. I feel like guys are really bought into the system that Gary and the team, you know, the coaching staff have. I feel like there's a lot of hope that we can get into the playoffs and maybe make some noise this year. I feel like I don't know what the locker room is like, but I heard a story that when McNaughton came in, that one of the things that he really enjoyed about the Nashville locker room was how supportive it was. Like, he was really, because he was just like, he was kind of like checking it out. He, you know, he was kind of hesitant, but he really was embraced, especially by Teal Bunbury and some of those guys, really sort of really took to him and really sort of engaged him to make him feel a part of the team. And I noticed that when he had his terrible injury, hopefully, I haven't heard anything, but hopefully it's not bad. Teal was one of the first players to talk to him as he was walking off the team, off the field. Other players coming to him. TW, the heart and soul, like sort of your heart player, right? You know, a USL original. I don't know. I feel like there's a nice vibe around the team. You know, last year it was kind of nervy. You know, new state. You know, everything was new. Everything was a little nervy. This year, there's a little more relaxed. A little more. There's more going on, I feel like. And you know, you add new players to the mix, like Teal Bunbury, like Fafa, and they've come in and they're newcomers that have hit it out of the park, in my opinion. They're solid players, and they really added something to the squad. That's my take. I have a lot of optimism going in the second half.
No, and I think you hit on something. Like, you talked about the comfort and the identity. I think, you know, in the past couple of years, we've seen, whether it be because of depth issues and injuries or necessity, I feel like there's been times where Gary's had to shift and, hey, you know, we're not coming in this game with a 4-4-2. We're going to do a 4-5, you know, a 4-5-1. Right. Or, hey, we're going to do like a 4-3-3. And there's something to be said about that. You know, there are great coaches. You could look at Pep. You know, I mean, he tinkers and he does all this. But he's a mastermind. There's a reason he's doing the things he's doing. I'm not dissing Gary by making that comparison, but no. I feel like it's a statement of how well the team is playing together that we've moved into this diamond formation with the technically, you know, the 4-4-2 with the diamond, and then with, you know, Hani and either Schaff or Fafa kind of playing off to the side. But it's worked and it's continued to work. You talked about we've rotated pieces. So we have different defenders. We'd have some different people up there. We've had different midfield combinations and tweaks, but it still continues to work. So it seems like our identity, we're not quite to the level of we're always able to dictate play and make the game go the way we want to, which partly because we like to play a little bit counterattacking, you know, makes sense. We're not always going to dictate that. But I feel like the fact that we're having success with the same lineup through and through shows that we've gotten to the point where it works. We have the personnel to do it. We have the substitutions and the, you know, the people for injury or whatever, like the case with McNaughton and Bauer and Zimmerman. You know, we're rotating people out, Jack's still anchoring, and we're still fine in the back. So I feel like we've gotten to this point where everything is clicking and we're just churning out the games. Sure, the Toronto game was a little disappointing. We would have liked to do it. I mean, they're 12th in the East, so they're not the bottom, but they're not great. It would have been nice to go in there and do that. But
they are a bad team with some really good players.
Right, but it's still a road game, and unfortunately, sometimes one really good player can have one really good moment, and you know, it costs you some points. So, but I do agree. There's a lot of optimism of the way it all. It just seems like we have this identity, and everything's flowing. That's what's fueling this kind of unbeaten streak. We're not asking these questions. People aren't unsure. We're not saying, is this the right formation? Do we have the right people? We, you know, we talked about last week with the mule or Leal thing. Well, you know, clearly looks like Leal may be on the upswing. Sure, we'll plug him in. And you know what? Mm-hmm. It's still going to work the same. Mm-hmm. It's still going to continue to work. And I have that confidence. So like, to me, that is something that we haven't really had before. And I feel like that's the reason for, you look at where we stand, but then going forward, the optimism, plus we know that the all optimism that everyone on Twitter and Discord, all the NSC spheres are talking about, is we bought an international slot. We have GAM.
Okay.
We have to do something with it. So.
That is a perfect segue into part two of this segment, which is questions, not uncomfortable, but just questions. Mm. My question to you, will a new signing disrupt all the stuff you just talked about? Will a new signing disrupt that?
I'm going to say no for two reasons. One, I think we're built up enough that we're going to ease them in, especially because they're going to come in July, which is during that League's Cup time, so we can, you know, it's not quite MLS play. And I have no idea what Gary and Ian and Mike are investing in this or how much they care about, you know, winning a trophy there, but we'll be able to ease them in. So I think it's nice that we have some time to work with them before we're in the grind of MLS season comes back. Two, because we all anticipate that striker is the biggest need, I feel like it shouldn't disrupt, because ideally we're buying someone to come in and be the starter, and it's a hole that we have. So if we put someone good there, they should be able to take it and run with it and improve upon what Teal is doing. You know what I mean? And I think I'm also kind of – I wouldn't even say hopeful. I think we've learned the lesson of the Loba thing, why it didn't work out. And so I assume that they're going to bring in someone who fits Gary's style of striker, which is someone who's a little bit bigger, a little more physical, hold up play, like your boy Benteke in DC, mm-hmm. someone more akin to him and less akin to a Brenner who's fast and shooting. you know, someone who's more like Vasquez or Benteke. Like, that's what I'm saying. I think we're going to bring someone in who's designed to fit that. So, no, I don't think it's going to be an issue. Now, they may not start scoring right away. You know, there's always some transition, but I don't think it's going to break things down and cause an issue or backsliding.
Well, I'm going to be selfish, and I want a Zlatan-like debut for this striker.
Where of course.
They take a half-field shot, and then it goes in, and they basically tell the entire city and state of Tennessee, you're welcome. That's what I want.
Now, hey, we can hope, but.
All right, what you got for me, John?
No, so I wanted to mention, so if you look, speaking of our home and away progress, we've averaged 2.22 points per game home. So we're a little bit under, you know what I mean? We ideally would win most of the game. So on the road, we're actually 1.5 points is what we're averaging. So we're actually doing pretty well on our away games, which is the thing that gave, when I went back and did these numbers, that's what gave me perspective about this Toronto loss. I was, sorry, tie. It was a bummer to tie there. I wanted to win. But when I look back, we're 3-2-3. We've won, you know, three, tied three. We've only dropped two games away. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. You look around the league, you see a lot of these teams losing. You know, I'm looking around here and I'm seeing teams at the top. Atlanta, they've only won one away game out of nine. One. Now, they've tied five. That's horrible form away from home. Our good friends in Miami, you know, those who have signed, you know, the GOAT himself, they're 1-7. They've won one and lost seven away from home. So I'm saying, you look around, there's a lot of poor forms. Houston and Vancouver, who are above the playoff line, have won zero games away from home in the West. So I'm just saying, when I looked at these numbers, it's kind of reassuring that our road form is pretty decent. We just need to ratchet it up at home and that pressure and not drop points at home. I think, to me, that's one of the key takeaways going forward that I think we need to concentrate on is, and I think we can help by making it a more, you know, intense, inhospitable atmosphere, you know, for the teams that come here, especially starting this week with St. Louis. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the biggest thing I looked at. Just looking across the season, it seems like we're doing a good job of a lot of things. We're playing the soccer we want to play. I think we just got to ratchet it up at home to make it really the castle, as Godoy loves to say in all those little post-game five-minute interviews. Everyone, another win at the castle, 3 points at the castle. I just love how he keeps plugging that name. So,
all right, those are
my key stats to just kind of put the whole season in perspective of looking at that. The only other one I would say is, if we look, we all know who's leading the team in goals. Hani at 10. Fafa has 4. Jacob has 3. Teal has 2. And then we've got 5 players tied with 1, which is more total goals than Hani has. So in other words, we're getting a lot more contributions outside of Hani, which is the big thing. You realize Fafa and Schaffelberg, those guys weren't – well, Schaffelberg was here on loan for part of last year. Those were the guys not here. 7 goals between the two of them. Look at the difference that this lineup and bringing in those two guys has made. I know everyone talked about the Fafa signing. Well, there were some who detracted. I know Clay was a big pro Fafa signing and talked about how he thought it was a dark horse win. And I think he's right. And we've seen that. So it's just nice to see that we're talking about Hani has not contributed more than 50% of the total goals. So we're getting other contributions, which is what we want. And ideally, if you put in a new striker, hopefully we keep this up and we just, you know, get more goals a game as opposed to, you know, right now with 17 games, I think we're at 25 goals, you know, so we're averaging over a goal a game, but you know, maybe we ratchet it up to where we can average more like 2 a game. That would be nice.
Yeah. I feel like, just briefly before we go into our, get off of a pitch, I always trust Clay has an instinct for players, but he does both head and heart. Like, he has an instinct for player and he also looks at the stats. And I feel like, when he was high on Leal when he came in, I definitely thought that was a feather in my cap and got me to pay attention to what Clay would be talking about. Clay, again, shout out to Pharmapod, please check them out. And when he was high on Fafa, I was like, well, I gotta check this out, because I knew it was with Houston. I was like, man, whatever. But if Clay was really high on Fafa when he came in, like really high, I'm like, okay, well, there's got to be something there. There's smoke, there's fire with that. So, all right, John, that's all great. But you know what we need to do is give the people what they want, which is we need to
money.
Tell them who, we need to tell them who or what needs to get off our pitch. John, take it away tonight. Who needs to get off your pitch?
Ah, okay, so we're not giving away free money. I was just hoping my own sake. No, so as you know, there is soccer happening around the world, and there are things wrapping up. And this past week, well, I shouldn't say this past weekend because it's still Sunday. So yesterday, this weekend, there was a fairly large game over in Europe between some champions about some things and some stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people could complain about and pick up on. You know, yes, Man City has, you know, the FIFA fair play violations, it's oil money, whatever you want, all this stuff, all these things. Look, I'm going to tell you that, you know what the biggest issue for me is? I saw a tweet today where someone showed a picture of Jack Grealish still, I guess, partying up with others. He was next to Haaland. Haaland had changed and, like, looked cleaned up. Jack Grealish still had his ugly, greasy hair and was still in his uniform. People were like, look at how hard
sweaty.
He's going.
He's so sweaty. He's so sweaty.
He's such a sweaty man. This guy needs to shower more regularly. Jack Grealish needs to up his hygiene routine. Yeah. This is my problem. He's Jack so Grealish sweaty, and his highlight routine and his hair needs to get off my pitch. I can't stand seeing pictures of the man. He looks like something went wrong with – you know how – you know, like in the 90s, there was like Party of Five and a few of those other shows where everyone kind of had that hair, that like mid-length split down the middle thing. Did he not know that that phase is well and over? Is the next thing he's going to do come out with frosted tips and short hair like he's NSYNC or Backstreet Boys? Like, I'm sorry, but Jack Grealish's hygiene just needs to get off my pitch, his whole overall thing. That's it. I'm angry with him. I'm sorry. And, you know, I'm sure there are some City fans out there who are going to hate me for it, but that's where I stand.
Apologies to our producer, that'd be me, but I don't really care if the City fans get upset. All right, speaking of, I'll tell you who needs to get off my pitch, and I've got a double card. I'm going to do a multiple card tonight. That's right, John. Ooh. I'm going multiple cards. Who gets? So I'm giving a yellow card to Taylor Twellman. Taylor Twellman, again, this is his second card, by the way. So he's accumulated. He now gets a red by accumulation. For being such a homer on the broadcast, I don't know if MLS is talking in his ear or Apple TV is talking in his ear. The energy at BMO Field was about the same as like a afternoon church service in the Episcopal Church. It was pretty dead. You could hear the supporters and everyone else basically chewing on their, I don't know, poutine or whatever the crap they eat up there. Even in Taylor was like trying to pump him up, and then he would have had to caveat by saying, yeah, but it's kind of quiet in here. You know, BMO used to be rocking. I'm like, I've been a on and off MLS fan since 96. BMO Field has never rocked anything, so I'm not sure where he got. Someone was telling that him in his ear. But that's not who gets my red card. Taylor just gets it on accumulation. No, it's time for my now too often rant. Throwing stuff on the pitch. My red card goes to Fiorentina in the Europa League against West Ham.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. And this one hurts because Fiorentina is my Italian team. I watched this match. I was excited about it. I love Fiorentina in Florence. And they haven't reached this level in quite a while. I'll just be honest. They're not a great team. But Fiorentina, throwing things on the pitch, throwing things at players when they're taking corner kicks.
One guy get quite visibly injured. Yeah.
And also threatening children at the match with all kinds of, it was just bad behavior. The throwing stuff was only the visible part of a lot of really bad behavior by the fans. And so this one actually kind of hurts. But I have to kind of cut ties with Fiorentina. Like, that's it. Like, I cannot abide that. They definitely get a full, this actually is not a joke red. This is a full red card. That is inexcusable. It is inexcusable behavior by the fans. I can't believe, also, this is the story I heard, and then we'll take a break. The story I heard is that they were supposed to have no alcohol at the pitch. Okay. They have no alcohol at the pitch. The story I heard was that somehow Heineken messed up something so you could actually buy both the Heineken Zero and the regular Heineken at the pitch. And they were, and you know, in Europe, they're eco-conscious. So you actually have to get your own, you have to pay for a cup. And the cups they have
were
like
not the plastic cups that we have that
no, and they're like solid cups. So that's what the player got hit with, like a solid plastic cup. Mm-mm. So there's multiple red cards that could be given out here, but
give it to Heineken because it's crap beer anyway. I will pile onto yours and give them a red card for being crap. And why do you make a non-alcoholic version of a crap beer anyway? So there, Heineken, get a bonus card.
Yeah. So anyway, This one hurts. I don't like to do it, but I am officially cutting ties with Fiorentina, taking it off my pitch. So on that sad note, we will take a break. When we come back, we will look towards the future, talk about who we're going to be playing next. Also, U.S. men's national team news. John's going to tell us when the U.S. men's national team with Walker Zimmerman is going to play. And then we will wrap it up and tell you what we got wrong. So stay with us. We are back. All right, John. The men's national team, the United States men's national team, when are they playing and who are they playing?
So this Thursday on the 15th, there are actually two games. So Panama and Canada is the one semifinal, and then United States, Mexico is the other. They're both playing. Panama, Canada is at 6 p.m. Central Time, U.S. and Mexico. Of course, it's at 9 p.m. Central Time because they want you and I to not get sleep. But anyway, they're both playing in the semifinals for the CONCACAF Nations League. The final game is then going to be held on Sunday at 7:30 p.m. So, one, Godoy is supposed to be playing in Panama, so yes. Boy in Gold. He is called up. He did come with us this weekend, and they actually said, most like you saw, Sean Johnson actually played for Toronto. Walker left early to go to the camp. There are reasons, there's discussions. They actually speculate on the thing that maybe it's because he was then going to not go to the Gold Cup. I don't know if you heard that. Whatever it is. Anyway,
they talked about it on the
broadcast. Walker's going to be there. So Walker's going to play Thursday for the U.S. Godoy will play Thursday for Panama. And then whichever two team wins will play again on Sunday, which means likely we're going to be without both of them on Saturday because that's a short turnaround time. So in all likelihood, we're going to be without them. But good luck to both teams. It should be interesting games, especially, I mean, U.S.-Mexico game. I know I said this last time, and then the game actually did kind of suck. Are usually really entertaining affairs, so hopefully this is an entertaining affair.
Let's hope. All right, and then when is Nashville SC going to play next? And who are they playing?
We are hosting St. Louis, welcoming the newcomers to Geodis Park. So we're going to bring them here. It's going to be 7:30 on Saturday, like they all are in, you know, local time. It should be a good one. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be there because we're celebrating my wife's birthday, so going to be doing other stuff that night and I'll have to watch it the next day, but it should be a great game. Honestly, they're right now first in the West. We're second in the East. This should be a good game. You and I have talked about, they're a good team. We got to be on top of our game because you can't make mistakes. You saw the first like four games of the year where people kept gifting them back passes and turnovers and they capitalized and scored goals. So we got to be clean. We got to be good. But I think it could be a really entertaining game. And I think it could be a great, you know, just one of those, like, this was a great MLS product. It was great to watch. And that's what I'm hoping for. So,
Both Taylor and the other co-host on the broadcast were definitely talking up that match, saying it's probably going to be the match to watch this coming weekend. And I agree. Yes. I think it's definitely going to be a litmus test of where each of these programs are at. And it should be an entertaining match. I think it's going to be an entertaining match.
It should be a marquee one because, fun fact, there are only six games on Saturday because a lot of teams are taking the time off. And then a bunch of them, including us, are playing next Wednesday. So it's just a very light MLS slate in general this week.
All right. Score prediction. What do you think?
Man.
Let's do this properly. Okay. So U.S. versus Mexico. What's your score prediction there?
Because it's the trend with Nashville, I'm going to go with 2-1 U.S. wins.
Okay.
Dos a uno. I know. Should have gone dos a cero for the, yeah, I don't know, for the Bible. What do you think?
I think it's 2-0. I think that the U.S. program is on the rise. I think the Mexican program is definitely on the decline. They've been on the decline for a while. Infighting, all kinds of shenanigans going on down there. You hate to see it. But then again, you love to see it. Yeah. So I think 2-0.
All right. So who do you think they play in the final on Sunday? Who do you think the U.S. plays if they win? Do you think Canada or Panama?
I think Canada. I don't like Panama's chances against Canada. I think Canada, another program on the rise, definitely on the rise. Yeah. I think Panama, I mean, I love Godoy, but I think he is indicative of a lot of the Panamanian team, which is a little older. They're a little bit older. Not to say they're not good, but they're, Canada is such a young, vibrant team. I don't know.
We all know, like, certain ones who play, across seas, like Alistair, they're done with the season. So this is all they got going on, So I agree. I think it'll be U.S.-Canada, and I hope we win, but honestly, I'd be intrigued to watch. So
I think it'll be good soccer. I think it'll be good soccer on Sunday.
All right. So what about
Nashville,
our game?
Nashville St. Louis, what do you think?
I think we might lose this one. I'm going to go with we lose 3-2. I think St. Louis is good. Ooh, wow. I think not having Walker, I don't know. This is the first game in a while that I'm honestly scared about because I feel like they're a complete team. They're young. They're not young. They're relatively, but they're fast. They can press. They can play different styles. I don't know. I'm a little bit worried. So that's what I'm going to go with.
All right. I am going to say this is going to be is our new rival to the West. Number one, I think St. Louis becomes our new rival to the West. Our cities are too close to each other. I think that this game gets chippy. I think there's a little attitude that gets involved here. I think Fafa is going to start. I think he's going to do Fafa things, right? I think he's going to be really aggressive. I think it's going to be 1-1. I think it's going to be undecided. I think it's going to be a draw. Okay. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw. I think it's going to be an exciting game. It's not going to be a boring 1-1 draw. I think it's going to be a lot of coast. I think there's going to be like shots off the post. I think there's going to be a lot of drama. I think there's going to be some chicanery. I think there's going to be cards. I think there's going to be a lot of activity on this match. I think it's going
to be whole menu there, Eric.
I think it's going to get good. I want St. Louis to be our rival. I want to make this happen. I'm trying to manifest this because I think that'll be a really good rival to the West. So.
And honestly, about the only team that's located geographically west of us that's viable.
yeah. I think so we've got that too. I just think we now have our, I'm trying to make this a thing, our compass of rivalries. And I've selected, north, we have our team to the north, we have our team to the south. I think for the east, we'll go ahead Charlotte and give it to teams, Charlotte. Sure. Yeah. Why not? And then, of course, to the west, I think we should have St. Louis. All right. I think 1-1. So, John, what did we get wrong from last week?
Clarity, we were talking about the Acostas. Luciano Acosta is Argentinian. I think you implied he was Costa Rican. You said something because you talked about he and Leal in the same sentence, and it was a little weird. But anyway, just for full sake and clarity. So he's from the same country as, that Messi guy, whoever he is.
Double check that. Did you double check that?
Yeah.
Are you sure Acosta's not from Costa Rica?
Mm-hmm. Argentinian soccer player, Luciano Acosta.
I was wrong.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. It happens. That was a genuine mistake, unlike your inability to pronounce names.
Okay, well, that's just color for the podcast.
Technically, you were wrong last week because for a while, LAFC did actually have one less goal allowed than ours, but they had so many fewer games, it didn't matter. And then again, Houston absolutely gobsmacked them this weekend, so they're out the window anyway. And as full clarity, I mentioned the whole quote about how our locker room and Gary's using Cincinnati as motivation, even though we don't think we're going to catch them, we still use them to try and be as good as our rivals or whatever. Valera is the one who actually posted that on Twitter talking about the clubhouse or the locker room view of Cincinnati of, yes, we realize they're far out ahead of us. Our goal isn't necessarily get the supporter shield, but we see our rivals above us and we want to, do better, catch up and beat them. So yeah, that's all I had for that.
Yeah. So, I think, excellent podcast tonight. I think next week we will probably talk more about the situation in Miami. We'll talk a little bit more cause I've had some time to digest what's going on. Cause I have some skepticism. I've also got some excitement. I've got a lot of views about this big thing.
Well, and to be fair, MLS has come out and said it's not actually final. Things aren't on the dotted line. Supposedly, I saw a leak today that Messi wanted to announce it earlier, even though things weren't finalized. I don't know. But I agree. We all know it's happening. Who, what, how's it going to look? We'll find out. So we'll probably sprinkle it in. It's not it's not a boom, it's on the table, done deal. Here's all the details, full disclosure situation.
How about this? If people want to tell us what they think about this situation, how would they do it? Like if they have an opinion about the greatest player probably of our lifetime, of mine. And although technically speaking, I could have watched Maradona, but I would have been like 5 and I didn't really know anything about soccer, but probably the best player of my lifetime. How would they tell us what they think about that player?
You could find us on Twitter at @GOMP_pod. You can also look up the videos of the live streaming on YouTube at Get Off My Pitch, but the Twitter is the better way to communicate with us if you want to, give us some feedback or talk about those things or give us your opinions on this whole messy situation.
And if you want to join us live, we typically record at 8 p.m. Central on the YouTube. You can check us out at the Get Off My Pitch channel. John, always a pleasure, my friend. Great talking to you.
Good talking to you. We will see you again next week in interesting circumstances. Who knows? I'm curious to see how this goes down. I really am.